downstairs.
I believe it's
okay.
How are you two?
It's 6:32, 6:33. We'll call the meeting to order. And Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
David Homer?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemurro?
Here.
Gabe Newto?
Here.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
David Arrington? Not here. Jacob Genther?
Here.
Stephanie Carubula?
Yes.
Here.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Newto, second by Supervisor Frederick. There were some changes that needed to be made today, no? Or?
No, I just didn't receive the odd pages or even pages,
right.
But then they were.
Okay, all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Sorry, Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Remind me that you're supposed to go first so that that happens, okay? Like, jump on it.
Okay.
Don't hesitate.
Okay.
You could throw the jump
word on the table.
Agenda item number 4, resolution to approve county executive.
Chairman, you never did citizens comments.
Oh, sorry. I skipped over that. Citizen comments. Are there any citizens wish? I don't have my laptop, so we're totally winging this right now.
Do you want an agenda? Okay, you got one? Okay.
We're good. We're all right. It's going to be more fun this way anyhow. Yep, take 5 minutes. Give us your name and your address for the record.
My name is Dick Christensen. I live at 3406 23rd Avenue in the city. I guess I'd like to start with a question. Are you quite familiar with MajestiCare and, you know, the service it provides, what it does?
No.
All right. Well, let me just give you one thing then and read something to you that I hope will give you some good background. Did I just say that I was a member of the Krish Transportation Task Force? I am. So this is an area that has concerned us. There have been meetings. There was a meeting in May by a group called Stand for Independence. And at that meeting, we heard numerous complaints about MajestiCare. So let me just give you some background on what MajestiCare is. And if you have questions, I don't consider myself an expert. I think Bill is probably much more of an expert than I. But I'll surely do what I can to share the information I have. MajestiCare is the name of a private company based in Atlanta, Georgia, that provides non-emergency medical transportation to people who qualify for Medicaid or BadgerCare Plus in the state of Wisconsin. Many of the people needing non-emergency medical transportation are people with disabilities who cannot drive a car to get to their appointment. Many of the people need transportation that will work with a wheelchair. MajestiCare is not a huge transportation company. They are coordinators of the process. If you are part of the Medicaid or BadgerCare Plus program and you need a ride to a doctor's appointment, a dental appointment, or other medical treatment, you call MajestiCare and tell them you need a ride. MajestiCare staff takes down the necessary information, calls the appropriate transportation provider, and sets up the ride. MajestiCare then pays the transportation provider for their services. MajestiCare is under contract with the state of Wisconsin to coordinate this non-emergency medical transportation for 3 years. The contract started back in July of 2011, so they're less than halfway through their contract. There have been some problems. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported on the case of Jesse Galarza, who had oral surgery scheduled. He set up his ride through MajestiCare, but his ride never showed up. Disability Rights Wisconsin took more than 100 complaints about MajestiCare in the first 20 days of September. Complaints included hour-long waits on the phone to schedule a ride, scheduled rides that were no-shows, and people stranded for several hours after their medical appointment was over, waiting to be picked up and taken home. There was also the tragic case of a man in Wauwega, Wisconsin, who missed 7 dialysis appointments in the 11 weeks after MajestiCare took over his non-emergency medical transportation. That man is no longer with us. MajestiCare has a complaint line called Where's My Ride? People can call to report problems, but people complain that they have been put on hold for 35 to 40 minutes only to get an apology. No explanation, no solutions. There is an ombudsman who is supposed to advocate for the rights of consumers who use this service, but the ombudsman is a paid employee of Logisticare. Logisticare has also been a problem for some small businesses that provide non-emergency medical transportation. Logisticare has been behind in their payments to some of these providers, and some of these providers have even blamed Logisticare for having to lay off employees. A letter has been written to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee asking the committee to direct the Legislative Audit Bureau to conduct a full audit of the non-emergency medical transportation contract with Logisticare. At least 51 legislators have signed the letter, including our own Senator Wirch and Representative Barca. Representative Samantha Kirkman is a co-chair of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. So, you know, she has some real power here. So if you have some influence with Representative Kirkman, please ask her to go forward with a full audit of the Logisticare contract. It seems as though the service needs to be improved. When we talk about this, I guess, at Cush, we basically have talked about two problems. One is that all of the complaints seem like they're in-house, you know, rather than having someone else. And then the second thing is that the incentives seem kind of backwards to us. We have heard, and Bill, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but we've heard that they are paid a certain amount of money per person who qualifies for the program. I'm just about done. Per person who qualifies for the program. So it seems to me the incentive could be that if they have fewer riders, their profits go up because they have fewer people using the service. So that also seems very backwards to us. So I thank you for your attention. I'm sorry I went over a little bit.
Any other citizens?
Actually, I am. My name is Raymond Cameron, for the record. I reside at 1320th Avenue Lower. I am a new member with the Cush Transportation Task Force. However, I also am a member of Stand for Independence. It was actually something set up through Independent Living Council of Wisconsin as far as a three-year program. I was a secretary at one point, also on the Dan Johnson Advocate of Yuri Award. One of the largest society's assets. I had actually asked for something to deal with this Logisticare thing, and that we coordinate, you know, statewide on this. And being, I guess, because I served as secretary for a bit at the request of the other organizer, Brenda Shannon Molina, being our one now, I guess I would listen to. But one of the people that's part of our group is Tammy Jandrowski, who sits on the Independent Living Council of Wisconsin. And this is a centralization of Medicare transportation, just like, you know, other benefits that have happened. It used to be at the county level, and you know, unfortunately, Mr. Walker and before him, the gentleman who was the governor, Mr. Doyle, they chose this, and there was a person by the name of Maureen Ryan who said that in both cases they objected to it because Logisticare, the company, had a shady past, quote unquote. So, and now we're hearing problems. Now, this is no reflection on Mr. Erickson. He's been a faithful person all throughout, so don't put anything on him. This was done at Madison. So I'm going to say, being that it is something, you know, that I personally don't favor the fact of having to wait 2 business days, but my other thought was, we have a situation now where there's been funding cuts to the Western Kenosha County Transit thing. And my thought was that perhaps they should consider lengthening that route when it comes in to go to, say, like the Walmart that's over there in Summers, and you could serve everybody that wanted to go to Walmart west or east of the I. And that pretty much concludes my comments. Thank you.
Any other citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Agenda item 4, resolution to approve county executive appointment of Dr. Michelle Hancock to the Workforce Development Board.
Thank you. I'll take that one. As you can see, Dr. Hancock is not here tonight. She had another commitment with Kenosha Unified Schools. However, I'm hopeful that the committee moves forward on her appointment. The Workforce Development Board has had representation from education since it's been founded. We've generally had the superintendent as part of that. She will be taking Gary Valancourt's place, who has retired from Kenosha Unified. The meetings are at 7:30 in the morning, which she assures us would fit her schedule. So I don't know if there's any other questions about her that I could answer. If not, I would hope you would endorse and make that recommendation to the county board.
I got questions for her, but she's not present.
Can we
table it?
Put table till the next meeting.
The only issue with tabling that, I'm not sure what her schedule looks like in our next meeting in December, and we could be pushing this into December or January. I know Unified has a lot of evening meetings, which makes it difficult for her to adjust accordingly. So I can't guarantee that we get her here in a timely manner for the appointment, which just delays a vacancy and the work we do with the Workforce Development Board here in Kenosha. But I'll pass that along to the board so wishes.
I'm sorry.
Well, personally, as of right now, I really don't have any question for her. However, I can appreciate someone already expressed that he has some questions for her. So at this point, I will make that motion to postpone it to the next meeting.
To postpone or table?
Table. Or to the next meeting.
There's
a second.
Okay. Some discussion on that?
Well.
Yeah, there's no.
Was it she's a question?
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, if we do table it, will it adversely impact your board? I mean, will you not be able to move
no,
forward
we have
with
enough
decisions?
Meetings, as long as the members show, we'd have enough to have a quorum to move things
okay.
forward. The only thing, it doesn't include the Unified in our discussions about training programs and getting people employed. That's the only potential issue. But it wouldn't stop the work of the board.
And you have things coming up that are...
I'm trying to think what our next meeting is now.
I'm just wondering if it's going to adversely impact you in a significant way.
If we can... depending on when this committee meets next, if we could get her at that meeting, it wouldn't have an adverse impact on it, because I don't believe we're meeting again until probably, flipping through real quick here, I don't see anything in early December, so maybe not until the first of the year, actually.
Then I'd just like to say that I would personally be willing to come a little earlier or a little later.
Before a county board meeting?
Yeah, before a county board meeting.
We only have the one on the 6th left.
4th.
The 4th, sorry. You have a calendar. I'm doing this from there. And that's the last one we have. Because then our regular meeting night, I believe, is Christmas.
Right.
Correct. I have it on my calendar for some reason that we have a Human Services meeting on the 18th, which is before our county board meeting, which we're not having. So I'm not sure.
Right.
Could we change the meeting to December 4th? Because the 18th is your county board Christmas party. So if we could hold the Human Services Committee on the 4th, then hopefully some of the appointments could also go then to the county board the same night for approval and close out the year.
Is there a lot to... It will be on,
no, on the 4th, it's just going to be probably just some appointments.
Right now, we have four that are in the board meeting tonight that would be sent back to the committee.
Okay.
So we're hopeful that we can add this one back on there on the 4th, and hopefully she can attend. If not, we'll be presenting again and see where this committee's choice.
See, people want to talk to her, see if maybe she could make the 4th meeting.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, I mean, just call her and say, could you? We wanted to, but we'd like to speak to you.
I mean, I'll be brutally honest. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable confirming her, but when I look at the education statistics for our citizens of Kenosha and look at what's going on in terms of employment, I sort of want to know what ideas that she has in mind and maybe how we as elected officials can be better advocates. Probably would have been prudent to put that in writing, but some things I think are better done face-to-face. This would be one.
Okay, we'll ask her to, we have some motions on the floor. I'm waiting to see how that goes.
Is there any other discussion? Is there a motion to...
There was a second, too.
There's a motion and a second.
We got to close the debate, then.
Motion to close debate.
No, there's no motion needed. No one had questions.
All right.
Get to ask youth and governance first.
Thank you. So we're voting on this. This is to postpone until...
To table.
December 4th.
To table until... Okay.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Okay, thank you.
Agenda item 5. Division of Aging and Disability Services. I didn't want to say DAD, so I had to think for a second. Resolution to modify the 2012 budget to add the Dementia Care Specialist Grant.
Well, as a background to this resolution, a few years ago, there was a study done by Dr. Sager with the Alzheimer's Institute at UW-Madison that found that the care of somebody with Alzheimer's disease costs about $15,000 a year. And you can understand with the growth in the aging population that the state and country is very concerned about how we care for persons with a growing number of persons with dementia. So the state in trying to, and they have found certainly that if you can, you can save actually nationwide billions of dollars if you can delay the need for a person to go into a nursing home and you keep them. Help them to function better at home for a longer period of time. So the state had started with a few counties on program testing this dementia care specialist program, and it's now made the opportunity available to 7 counties. We were one of those that received a grant for, 10 counties, $70,000 each, to hire a dementia care specialist who would work with families in terms of helping them to provide consultation on Alzheimer's and dementia to help them kind of develop a circle of care around the care needs of the individual to support the family caregivers and to provide more education about Alzheimer's disease. It's, at this point, it's a one-year project. With renewable for 2 years, whether there would be dollars in the future, we don't know. It's there are no levy dollars involved, and our hope would be to serve certainly as many people as we can within the time that we have, and then maybe to learn some things that we can incorporate in our other programming. There's also a small component of it that's an exercise, actually a exercise and socialization component. They have found that people who in early stages of dementia, who are involved in exercise and in have the opportunity for socialization and even some volunteerism, can function better and are show fewer symptoms of Alzheimer's disease for a longer period of time. So that this component of this part also includes volunteers working with. Some people at the early stages of dementia and in terms of exercise and socialization opportunities.
Supervisor Whiteford?
This is something. I just had a patient die. He's actually a friend of the family. He had moderate Alzheimer's, very bad. And this is the neatest story. I'm trying to get this in the news. We're actually working on that. They had a daycare lady who took care of their kids. Been a daycare lady for 40 years, so she knew this guy, and she talked with the daycare parents and the kids, and they okayed him to join them. And the thing about dementia is, you don't know it's 2012, but you think it's 1962. And when you see little kids, those are your little kids. So he fit in, and for 18 months until he died, just died a couple weeks ago, the joy in his day was there. And the kids loved it. It was the most beautiful program ever. And when I found out about it and I saw the pictures, I'm like, this has to be shared. So that I would love to know who you have in your department, because I'm going to try to get this thing moving. It's a wonderful idea. It kept him out of long-term care. And it was just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Because in his mind, he was with his kids when they were little, although his kids are now 35. You know, and it fit. He was safe, and everybody loved it. It was so cool.
Well, this would be, if we can develop this part, component of it to take somebody out of the home, it provides respite for the family member who's caring for the individual, but it also provides an opportunity for socialization and to volunteerism, to give back. So this would be, that would be a wonderful opportunity,
yeah,
that kind of thing, to for a person to be able to give up themselves.
So I'll talk to you afterwards if that's okay. Thank you.
Is this for the person that, what is it, the dementia care specialist? Is this specialist going to go into homes of people with Alzheimer's?
Yes.
And work with the patient, or work with the families, or both, or what exactly?
Both, but certainly people in early stages of dementia, and you know, we talk to them about, we'd like to advise them to have a safety plan and a crisis plan, so that as and kind of advise them about some of the trajectory that they can expect, but also then working with caregivers, family caregivers, in terms of helping them to. So often we see that family caregivers are, one member is trying to do most of it themselves, and to help them build a little bit of a circle of care that they can, so that they can rely on other family members, friends, and others to help pitch in to do different tasks. There's a specific model called Memory Care Connection that the state has tested and feels is effective in that regard and wants us to utilize. It involves several sessions with family members.
Thank you.
Supervisor Nito.
Is every individual with dementia eligible for this, or do they have any restrictions of who's going to be eligible for it?
Well, I don't think there would be any restrictions specifically. The program, the exercise program, is designed more for persons at early stages of dementia, and probably wouldn't be as effective for people in the later stages. But the intervention with caregivers and others certainly could be at any stage of dementia. We just recently had a screening memory screening at the that we tried for the first time at the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and we had 61 people that came. A lot of them had nothing to worry about. They passed the screening effectively. But it shows, I think, that a lot of people are concerned about it.
Any questions, Rick? We were featured on NPR for this, weren't we not? I was driving and I thought I heard something.
Oh, for the memory screening? I think that, yeah. Well, we had a big thing in the Kenosha News as well.
Okay. It's been motion to approve by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Frederick. All in favor? Oh, sorry. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Update on Logisticare. Oh, and I do have a couple of things to pass out. Just want to grab one and pass the rest down. There's only 10 in each pile. Yes, this is okay. It's not in your packet.
No, this is not.
Oh,
but,
right.
Sorry. That's
I just got it today, so.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Can we take a 45-minute break so we can read through this?
It only put us 15 minutes into
We're
the county board meeting.
Oh, okay.
There's no voting. This is just a presentation.
Forget what I asked.
45 minutes?
Okay, 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Am I on?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Bill Erickson. I'm the Special Projects Manager at the Kenosha County Job Center, and I'm the Medicaid Transportation Resource Person. Basically, all of the complaints and issues mentioned by Dick Christensen and Ray Cameron are true and correct. And I'm in contact with logistics here and with the state policy analyst on Medicaid transportation. And I know our time is limited, so I'll take just a few minutes. The six weeks before the transition, the state made the transition to logistics care at the job center. We implemented an action plan 6 weeks beforehand, and that was with the administration from Human Services, Workforce Development, Aging and Disability Services. And what we did was we created posters that we encouraged our staff to put up in every cubicle on the walls in the reception area, and we sent these to 16 of our partner agencies to place in their client reception areas. And I'll just pass these around. So that all Medicaid clients in Kenosha County would be aware before the transition, July 1st of 2011, would know who to call, how to get a ride for logistics care. And in the first month from the state, when I called the state, for the first month of July of 2011, there were 11,000 complaint calls, 11,000 across the state. But how many from Kenosha County? 49. 49, and we're the fourth largest county in the state. It is because of our action plan. Really, and really the credit for that goes to administration, management, and human services, and I would single out Carolyn Felt, my colleague in Aging and Disability Resource Center. We all worked together. It was very successful. To my job is I'm the resource person. If anyone, and my name, as you'll see on the bottom, my name and phone number, if anyone needs a ride, encounters difficulty with a logistic care, call me, and I welcome those calls. A lot of the calls are from people who didn't read the letter that they each received from the state announcing this transition. For example, I've gotten calls from people who say, you know, the difficulty where logistic care wants to know the address of the doctor's office, for example, Aurora. And this was a frequent complaint. When they would call, logistic care wanted to know the address. And they would say, well, why do they need to know the address? I never had to give that before, maybe because we knew their address, but I just want to go to Aurora on Highway 50. And they asked for the address. I don't know the address. And I said, well, you know, there are a lot of Aurora facilities in Wisconsin and a lot in Kenosha. To determine mileage that they pay to the vendor, to the transport company, they need to know the mileage. So when people learn the rules, it was more or less smooth sailing for them. Also, when people call me if they encounter difficulty, I tell them what they need to do, and I say, give them one more try, and if you don't get it right, call me, then I'll call logistic care. And I do what I may. I give them my name and phone number, and I have them repeat it to me to make sure that if they encounter difficulty, they will call me, and usually they don't call me. And I welcome those calls. The issues mentioned by the two speakers in the public forum are true and correct. The state is working on them. Our Medicaid transportation program at Brookside is successful. I called the medical records clerk at Brookside yesterday to say, has there been any change from when the logistic care was brought into the state to start transportation? And I was told, no, everything is smooth. Everyone at all of the residents at Brookside are receiving the appropriate transportation in common carrier or specialized medical vehicles with a lift and ramp or in ambulances. Where they need an ambulance. Everyone is getting appropriate transportation with no problem. And one reason, why was there difficulty? The reason is when the state let out the RFP for the Logistic Air was one of the three contenders, and the state underestimated the number of rides in the state and then in the Milwaukee six counties. For example, where the state asked for a bid for 1,500 rides a day. And when Logistic Air, of course, won the bid, and when they started, they had 3,000 rides a day. So they were scrambling to catch up. And some people were on hold when they called for 45 minutes or an hour, and the state was put pressure on Logistic Air. They hired more staff, and they started to get the wait time down to 5 minutes. And now, of course, it's where I get, when I call, I get through right away. But that was a difficulty that our residents should not have encountered. As the transportation resource person at the Medicaid transportation resource person at the job center, I'm also aware and familiar with other transportation resources in the county. For example, people on Medicare call me. There's no transportation program for Medicare clients, but they'll call, and many times they're confused. They'll say, well, Medicare, Medicaid, it's all the same, I need a ride. And of course, I explain to them, Medicaid transportation is for Medicaid clients, but now if you need a ride, being on Medicare, there are other transportation options in the community. And I help them link up, or sometimes I'll make the call for them if I know they need help and get it resolved so they don't call back. But I always make sure everyone has my name and phone number to call, and I tell them if you know of anyone else that is encountering difficulty getting a ride from Logistic Air, you have my name and phone number, give it to them. I welcome that call, those calls, and I'll do what I can to straighten it out so that they'll receive a ride with no problem after that. So in terms of, there are problems in the rest of the state, but at least in Kenosha County, for Kenosha County's Medicaid population, I think they're well served. And people like Ray and Dick Christensen have been at public meetings that I've attended, and I've encouraged them, given them my business card, encouraged them, if you know of anyone that's encountering difficulty getting a ride from Logistic Care, have them call me. Have them call me. We'll get them straightened out. So, basically, I think we're okay here in Kenosha County. We're getting, and I'm receiving very few calls, I must say, very few calls. I thought I'd be getting more, but very few calls. But the rest of the state is still going through an adjustment period. It is getting better and better. The state, in the contract with Logistic Care, put in a clause that if the number of complaint calls exceeds a certain percentage, Logistic Care will have to pay a fine. So they're motivated to resolve the issues as soon as they can, because they don't want to pay a fine and have some of their profit go back to the state because they're not doing a good job. Wisconsin is the 40th state to have a Medicaid transportation brokerage program. We're the 40th state. Logistic Care operates in about 30-some other states, not where they have the entire state, but cities and regional and metropolitan areas. So they have experience in the rest of the country. But again, it's an ongoing problem in the rest of the state. But at least in Kenosha County, I believe that our Medicaid clients are being well served. They're not going without a ride. They're not missing their rides. And if they are, I want to know about it and fix it.
Supervisor Johnson.
I just have a few questions. You started off by saying that there were, I believe, 11,000 complaints statewide.
That was for the first month.
For the first month.
July of 2011.
Okay, and you said that 49 were from
Kenosha County.
So is it broken out every month? Can we see how many complaints came from Kenosha County every month, or did they just do that first month?
Right, I don't have those statistics.
Okay, so we don't know if we have more or less since then.
We don't know.
To the state.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if there would be more complaint calls, I would get more complaint calls from Kenosha County Medicaid clients, or referred to me by staff at the job center or our partner agencies.
Okay.
And also by having these posters placed in 16 of our of our partner agencies, like Boys and Girls Club and Kenosha Achievement Center, Kafasi and the Shalom Center, 16 altogether. They're client reception areas. And their staff are aware of it. If there's a problem, I think almost everyone knows my name and phone number or how to refer those people.
Absolutely.
To
Absolutely. So if they did it the first month, it must be possible to break them out, and so that we could find out
and I'm sure the
how
state,
many complaints.
I'm sure the state has the number of complaint calls for each county for each month. I'm sure they do.
Okay. Is it posted? Do you think it's public information posted on website somewhere that we could see?
I haven't attempted to get it because...
Okay. I'd just be curious to see if it actually has gone down.
The first month, and, mm-hmm. and then I knew mm-hmm. that we were doing a fairly good job at the job center.
I don't doubt that you are. I'm just wondering because we haven't looked into if they actually are getting more complaints calling in. If there is like a miscommunication in the process and they're not getting the message to call you, you know, and sometimes elderly, you know, can even be forgetful and not remember what somebody told them or what
sure.
they read or, and also, I was just wondering how many complaints do they have to receive before they are fined, and is it within a certain period or?
I'm not certain of that. Really,
okay.
I'm not certain of that, but
okay.
I know when the contract was let that.
Okay.
That the state had that provision. What the state did was they gathered the best practices from other states that had a Medicaid transportation brokerage program,
mm-hmm.
and the state sort of publicized that they incorporated the best practices
mm-hmm.
from all the other states, and they put that into the contract for whoever would win the bid if there was logistic care. But again, the state underestimated by far the actual number of rides.
Sure, so it was a bad RFP they put out. Wrong information. I just want to say for the record, I think you're doing a great job for what you were given.
Right. And other staff, too, of the jobs that are well
absolutely,
together.
Absolutely.
Right.
Plan. I think that the department's doing a great job for what they've got going, but I think we should actually make sure that the complaints aren't going to the state.
Right. As John said, we could request from the state a printout
okay.
of the number of total complaint calls, how many from Kenosha County. For each month, and we could get that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because that's not secret information.
Sure.
Anyone else? Supervisor
Frederick. Actually, what Dewey explained it is I was at a building behind St. Catherine's, and they were having some difficulty trying to, they wouldn't get the address for the, as they were calling, and it says the building behind St. Cat's, and they were going round and round trying to say, can't you come and get me? I said, what's your address? And they're like, behind St. Catherine's. And I heard that for about 5 minutes while I was sitting there waiting. So now, because if they were just gone outside or asked the secretary, it would have been taken care of right away.
Right. It was a learning experience. It's been a learning experience for Medicaid clients and also for logistic care. But they are getting better. They have to. They are getting better. And the state has indicated they are getting better because it has to get better. And as mentioned earlier, the Legislative Audit Bureau is considering an audit of logistic care, and the two co-chairs have to agree on that. And then when that occurs, then there will be a state audit of logistic care, and if there are any irregularities, appropriate action will be taken.
We do. I'll just say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, this is not our fault. We do extraordinarily well in Kenosha County, and that's thanks to the work that you do and the team of human services that's working with you and behind you to help make that happen. But as you said, there are other areas of the state of Wisconsin that don't have someone out there advocating, and so then there's still all of these issues that persist. I mean, the Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee has really been harping on this big time. And if I recall correctly, I believe Logistic Care is getting $4 for every person who's on Medicaid in the state. I think it's based off of a formula. And that's whether they use the service or not. I know we have had a few residents in Kenosha, not too many. I know of one instance where a lady had two kids and she needed to get to her doctor's appointment, but it was for one kid and not the other. And Logistic Care said, well, we can't take both of your kids. We can only take the one that has the appointment scheduled. And she was like, well, I don't have anyone I can leave him with. So there are sometimes these things that are still...
We solved that problem in Kenosha County. But the problem is that the state, in its contract for Logistic Care, the state will pay for example, to transport a child to a Medicaid appointment, the one legally responsible adult, like a parent, one parent and the child. But let's say the mother has three children, three small children, and one of them has to go to the doctor. And she cannot obtain child care for the other two or the doctor. She has an appointment in the child has an appointment in the morning, and then the doctor wants the child back in the afternoon to do a follow-up test. And the mother cannot get child care or cannot afford child care. The state says, okay, we will just take the one child, the sick child, and the mother, and the mother is responsible for child care. And the vendors were told, follow that policy. Well, I'm in close contact with our four Medicaid transport companies in Kenosha that are, have contracts with LogistiCare, and I will say that they took this as a very humane, took a very humane approach. And what they do, they will take the mother and the two children, or three children, and just not tell LogistiCare. So to assure that the child will get to the doctor, to Aurora or wherever, and they just don't tell LogistiCare. So LogistiCare doesn't find out, and if LogistiCare would, I don't know what they would do. But again, that's what our contracted companies do in Kenosha for Kenosha residents.
Yeah, I think a performance audit of LogistiCare would be wonderfully helpful from the state. So it's just something to just bring to your attention and keep your eyes and ears open on. You'll have something else on a non-LogistiCare related matter, I'm certain, in the near future, possibly. Thank you. Are there any committee member comments?
Can I ask something real quick?
Yes,
sir. I apologize. Before we got all this together, we then realized you had a 7:15 upstairs, so I'm just passing out our 2013 contract document that folks that have been on this committee have seen before. The shaded area is 2012, the non-shaded area is 2013. That front page is a summary with that bottom right chart showing the reduction. Remember, most of that came through the W-2 contract that went via another vendor. But it gives you a quick overview of all of our contracts. There'll be a description in column 13 that you put through. If there's anything in this document that you'd like us to bring back to this committee, we'd be happy to. And we'll be getting this document out to the full county board next week. We apologize for not being green, but if we gave it to you in email, it's kind of difficult to read because of the length of it. So we'll probably be making hard copies for everybody upstairs, too. So any questions, please give me a holler on it, and we'd be happy to come and discuss it further at a future meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Before we go, is the next meeting for December 4th now?
Yes.
December 4th at 6:30 here.
Okay.
We realize that's up against the county board again, so it's just those resolutions to get folks on committee. So it's not our intention to try to build a huge agenda and run up against the clock.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by
Anita Johnson.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Rachel. Okay. So he's coming in. We got folks from all kinds of departments to do it. So I mean, the website's very interesting. When you gave me that over a month ago, I went online. That was kind of.
Yeah, you know, I've learned a lot about it and how it helps in different situations and talking to different people. I just think it's just something that shouldn't be making people. Do you know what I mean?